From Paul's letter to the Colossians, hear the word of the Lord. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. And from the book of Luke, Christ says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A child of Wildwood Presbyterian Church. This is a phrase we've heard a lot over the past 2 impossible weeks, and with good reason. This is an important idea. It's not just that Joey, like so many hundreds of others, was the child of a church. He was a child of this church. So am I. I was baptized at WPC, took my first communion over on Sears Boulevard, went through confirmation in countless vacation Bible schools, and most of my memories of worship involve Greg and Kathy. And like so many other children of this church, I was raised with a set of experiences and knowledge that are the unique gifts of belonging to this particular church family. You see, you send us out into the world equipped with the uniquely WPC take on things, a particular faith, and a way of living that faith. You have sent us to all corners of this nation and this world, to El Salvador and Kenya, to India and China, to alleviate suffering and share our talents, to fight fires and to fight wars, to serve in ways religious and secular, but always serving. Everywhere I've traveled, and everywhere many of WPC's children have traveled, we carry with us pieces of this church home. From this church family, I learned a lot, and I continue to learn a lot. Thanks to Laurie Twarowski, I know exactly how one burns rubber for the Lord to baptize and make disciples. Thanks to Kathy Gilmore and the rest of the VBS crew, I know all the words and moves to the Martian bop, and I know that it is a profoundly beautiful thing when a church encourages dozens of children to dance on the chancel. From Darlene Harms, I learned the importance of really knowing your books of the Bible. Thanks to Steve and Steve, I learned the value of knowing your Bible stories for the purposes of Bible Jeopardy and beyond. Thanks to Kim Curtis and our whole program of pairing adult confirmation partners with our youth, I know the invaluable nature of intergenerational learning. That when I was just 13, an adult outside of my family both recognized and helped me develop my faith in profound ways. This church was always a safe space to bring ideas, my childlike ways to help those in need, and trust that there would be support, encouragement, and collaboration. And I can give no greater testimony to the incredible net of support that the youth group provides one another than we all witnessed this past week. The list could go on and on, but I see all these truths of my childhood at WPC persisting today. I grew up knowing not only that a woman could preach, but that she absolutely should if she's got a spiritual voice like Kathy's. I grew up thinking that pastors were supposed to be accessible, funny, kind, and above all, human. I grew up knowing that an invaluable part of faith was exploring it. So I think you should all know that the faith we teach our children here somewhat contradicts Paul's teaching, because every kid growing up at WPC is instead taught to imitate Christ. We're encouraged to ask questions, to learn, and to seek. I think Paul's got it more than half right, that being rooted in Christ is essential. But I think he somewhat missed the boat when he cautions against knowing the philosophies of man, as if there are traditions of the world that are somehow beyond Christ. At least when I was coming up through confirmation, I was taught and even encouraged to ask difficult faith-related questions of my teachers and of myself. It wasn't until I went to seminary that I realized this, but not a lot of churches train their kids to intellectually question and challenge their own faith, and to work hard to understand the world around them. Paul says to avoid the traps of philosophy, the traps of man, as if we can somehow out or rather unthink our faith. Now, to be fair, Paul's caution to the Colossians is meant to help guide and protect them in a specific time and place historically. But context aside, his concerns represent the common anxiety that learning too much outside the walls of church, reading too much outside of a holy book, or existing outside an intellectual holy space will somehow threaten or even dismantle our faith. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. Paul is cautioning the fledgling Christian community to avoid being so enamored with information the world has to offer that they might lose their firm stance at the foot of the cross. So does this passage actually mean to imply that we should not think? Should we attempt to live life in the Bible bubble, denying the existence of the very real world around us? Well, the Christ we see in Luke didn't think so. And as far as I can tell, neither does the culture of this church. God did not give the Colossians or us brains so that we could waste them. It seems to me that the commandment is not to keep our minds in hiding, but rather to seek. And just like a tree can only grow richly and fully if it is planted firmly, we can only seek understanding if we are truly rooted in Christ. I think it's in the security of this knowledge that WPC raises generation after generation of seekers. There's actually great freedom in this dual command of seeking while remaining firm in our roots, that much like Dorothy found out in Oz, if you carry home in your heart, there's no such thing as wandering too far. Most of us have, at one time or another, considered our faith critically, probably even doubted this impossible thing we believe, that anyone loves us so deeply to sacrifice the way God did, that an all-loving God even exists in a world that is sometimes so hideous and angry. These are reasonable things to wonder about. So it is in our nature, as humans and as people of faith, to ask questions and to seek. We can't help but be curious, Paul. It's just how God made us. We don't mean to stray, but we were not made to live or think with blinders on. There appears to be tension in Paul's mind between living in Christ and living in the real world. And that is, of course, true. But the goal must be to equip our children to do both, for if lived truly, each can only strengthen the other. The truth is, of course, that it is in the act of seeking that we are most like Christ, trusting that God will always have an answer. Seeking, thinking, even philosophy, are not really dangerous because, as Greg told my graduating class and probably others, there is nothing bigger than God. Paul seems to be concerned that these elemental spirits and traditions of the world will somehow overpower God in our hearts, but that threat can only really exist if you believe there are things outside of the scope of the Almighty. So if God is in your heart, there is only gain to be had by wider understanding of the world. Christ encourages such behavior in his word and deed. There is no door on which you might knock that God does not know what lies beyond it. And there is no question you might ask that can diminish the love God has for you. Fear of understanding, fear of knowing, these are small fears for a small faith. Only a narrow mind can be threatened by comprehension of other points of view, and only a narrow faith can be diminished by a wider understanding. We are blessed by a faith that is bold, all-encompassing, and not easily threatened. So we cannot ruin it by seeking to know the world God created. This is the faith you've given your children, Wildwood Presbyterian Church. For Christ is above all else a seeker of understanding. He asks no fewer than 86 questions, and that's just the ones documented in the Gospels. In some ways, Christ presents in human form with all the world curiosity of a small child. Anyone who spent any time around a three-year-old can see the comparison. Why do they do this? What do you mean? Why wouldn't we do it this way? He seeks understanding of the world around him and why it does what it does, both good and bad. He seeks us. He seeks us unto the most painful understanding of the human experience, asking, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, Christ is seeking comprehension of that pit most people enter at some point, the feeling of being forsaken by God. Christ demonstrates the necessity of looking, asking, pushing for a deeper truth than you'll get if you don't ask. So if we are to be faithful, then we are not only allowed to seek, we must. To walk in him is to ask, to knock, to seek. This is the gift of our faith, and this is the gift you give all of your children. I have had moments of doubt, and I have certainly sought understanding of the world around me, people and faiths and places that are not familiar to me and sometimes not particularly Christ-like. But that faith was always rooted in my heart, a seed planted deep by this church family a couple decades ago, one that always calls me home and reminds me of my roots. And I know that there is no question I could ask, no door on which I might knock, no seeking I might do that could undo the love of God I learned from this family. Would you please pray with me? Thank you, O God, for this church family and for a faith that encourages us to seek and understand. Amen.